downstairs to reserve the, what is it, the chandelier blue? And I thought we'd adjourn at 12, and whoever wants to come down there can come down and... All right, you had a suggestion, Carl, but why didn't you say it?
My suggestion was that the language to the extent, and we have to modify one reasonableness of force to the reasonableness of the decision to use it. And maybe a little awkward perhaps to clarify that in subsection 3 on line 3, before the word useful, but reasonable, and then we would strike. That may use reasonable physical force when he reasonably believes it necessary. Strike one, and to the extent that.
And well, I think the same thing is to,
I think to the extent that on the use of the force, and that was that.
Well, doesn't reasonable do that also, Bob? To the extent that seems to modify one, the decision to use force, and two, the way, and two, the amount of force.
Would you agree, Harold, that it would struck the word reasonable in front of physical force and all the same?
That's been practiced in the argument that you don't. I think you need reasonable to modify physical force as well as reasonably to.
You don't need to
modify his belief.
And then you don't need the language though to the extent. And that's what Harold told me.
He is reasonable after using the force physical.
To the extent. Reasonable modifying the amount of force.
Yeah.
Reasonable modifies the definite decision to use.
It could also say that this is correct.
Yeah.
To the extent.
Well, it refers to the decision. No longer is reasonable.
Chairman, second the motion. Well, you didn't make it part of the motion.
I'll so move.
Say it again. How does it put Reed down?
Agree with Reed that the person responsible for maintenance of order and common carrier and passenger is the person acting. Direction may use reasonable physical force when he reasonably believes it necessary to be in order to do so. And you make confidence in so forth.
Now, are you going to make confidence changing in the sense what is due to take away form?
I want to see if this passes.
Question will
eventually. All right, you've heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Is your name to call? No. Motion to amend subsequently.
Judge Green?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Tanner?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Haas?
Aye.
Dunstan?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Nine?
Aye.
Spaulding?
Aye.
Chairman?
Any further motions?
Yes, I'd move at 50%. I'd move. And then subsection 1, line 4, striking the words and to the extent.
All right. Now,
a similar language. Would you restate two for me?
I just why did you move those four words in both sections?
Anywhere they may be found.
Past, present, or future law.
In whatever toilet book.
Hey, there's a motion delete those four words of sub one and sub two as it carried for the amendment. During the discussion, put it by voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion to carry. Is there further discussion with respect to sub three? If not, let's go to four.
Is there anyone opposed to four?
You want to get rid of to the extent that out of it? Kill a person trying to commit suicide and keep him from doing suicide.
Well, there is a reasonable physical force and a reasonable belief.
A person acting under a reasonable belief.
Reasonably.
That another reason is going to commit suicide.
Well, here you do have another element. Belief that somebody's trying to kill us.
A person acting under a reasonable belief that another person is about to commit suicide or inflict serious physical injury upon himself may use physical force upon that person to the extent that he reasonably believes necessary for his own.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we can take it now. Move and insert the word reasonable to the word physical. Try to extend that.
So that it would read, a person acting under a reasonable belief that another person is about to commit suicide or to inflict serious physical injury upon himself may use reasonable physical force upon that person.
Don't strike that.
Upon that person.
I don't like it either, but I didn't get the system to do it.
Which
may use such reasonable physical force upon that person. But I don't see that changes the meaning of any medicine.
I don't either.
And I believe we've got to go back to 1, 2, and 3 and insert such before.
Yeah. Well, Carl, well, now, Harl, you precipitated this action. And the way it was drafted, to the extent that it flowed fairly smoothly. Now, was there any specific reason why you wanted that language to be
Frank Knight? Yeah, I think Frank Knight is worried me.
Does it change the meaning of the section of your judgment? It doesn't really.
Won't you do the same thing you're after, just like a simple insertion of reasonable before physical force and after you redirect it as is? I realize it's got to take some extended and that's bugging some people, but it really doesn't. It does need a hell of a lot.
I don't think you need the word reasonable before physical force.
I do.
You're going to kill him to keep him from committing suicide?
Well, let's
I agree with you, Frank. I think it's reasonable. I think it's good to have him in there.
Since there's no motion for the House, I'll insert the word reasonable between use and physical on line 3 of section 4.
All right. You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. No. Motion is carried. Now, you do have a motion to make with respect to the...
I'm over here for section 4.
As is.
As amended.
All right. We won't entertain a motion to approve a subsection until we...
Right.
However, I would entertain a motion to render uniform the language in 1, 2, 3, and 4 with respect to the words quote, to the extent that.
I so moved. We just decided not to do that as far as sub four is concerned. Why was the purpose of the amendment? We already did it on 1, 2, and 3.
Well, we eliminated it in 1, 2, 3, didn't we? And we're gonna leave it in 4, right?
Yeah.
Well, is there any rational reason for?
Be reasonable.
If we take it out, we've gotta put such in front of reasonable.
No, that wasn't the import of my suggestion. I'm suggesting that we put it back in 1, 2, and 3.
Oh.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Mr. Spalding has moved that we insert the words to the extent that back in 1, 2, and 3. All right, you've heard the motion. All in favor of Mr. Spalding's motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Gary, now, aye.
This is my first morning of our 2-day meeting.
We're doing fine.
Okay, 5.
We did the same damn thing except for many about the same subject.
Yeah, we're about the same length.
So therefore, what we're doing is moving to 3.
Well, to that extent.
On 5, what is the leave out stand?
Well, we just agreed not to put them in. That was although there was some discussion about that some persons might think they should be in here, but the subcommittee decided not specifically to include dentists in this.
The position to the chiropractor?
No. What about an osteopath?
An osteopath is very definite.
Some MDs on find 6 or 5.
You won't find the answer then. We've been struggling around with a few license commissioners.
Well, I was looking for 3,800 though. I thought you might want to take a look at that because that's the good Samaritan.
Huh?
I remember we talked about it, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about it.
You think we need to lay on again?
The reason we left them out is because I have a violent dislike for dentistry as a profession.
Oh,
and the big thing about it, the subcommittee.
You talked about friends and sisters that got
mockery. I made the speech about the lawyer and sisters who've just been arrested by the damn dentists.
Make
false teeth cheaper than they do, better than they do. That's the whole reason dentists are out.
Maybe we put it on next month's agenda.
No,
it's going to carry. Okay.
Well, I've got a note here from Senator Halleck, and he wants an amendment in here with respect to all practitioners.
Well, a duly licensed physician is not clear when it comes on to that.
No.
Well, a doctor could slap someone, and do really good.
What?
I, under some circumstances, for physical therapy.
Sure.
He's, of course, licensed in your position. Even though he's a practicing psychiatrist and won't touch your throat or your whatever. He's a licensed surgeon, even though he's never looked at anything below the Adam's apples and stuff.
Well, actually, the doctor, as anybody else, has a complaint from the center. He's employed in that relationship. He uses whatever force is necessary to carry out the treatment he's been employed to perform.
There's the current report, St. Charles Memorial Hospital.
I defended a dentist on a case where mother of a hungry little tank bit down on the grill and cut out of his tongue and lip, and the mother promptly sued him. And then I go to and claim the law that permitted them to even touch me. Yes, that is implied in sin. And I employ the demons to perform service and by consent to reasonably touch this patient.
Chairman, what emergency situation can you get perhaps some important facts for the religious problem, where the parents absolutely forbid the doctors from administering serum? Is this what this is trying to do? If you have a contract with a physician, moral, I mean, that doesn't come up unless you operate in the wrong ear, which is a different problem.
No, that would come up more in a civil thing. Always where that mother might want to have gone down to the main complaint to the nurse's file or maybe
You don't think that would happen criminally? You think just only by granting?
I mean, as far as a religious thing is concerned.
Are you saying that it's only a civil crime today and it's not a criminal?
No, I'm not.
Well, yeah, cover both of them.
If I understand your question of people belong to Jehovah's Witnesses or something and they, or Christian Scientists and.
Well, what I'm saying is, to make it simply, does the implied contractual relationship cover all the cases? If it does, we don't need it. But I don't think it does.
It
doesn't. Yeah, and Duke should be covered. Are those the cases?
Well, we were trying to cover two kinds of situations. One where you do have consent by the patient, or if there's a minor that the parent or guardian's consented. And the treatment that's consented to turns out to involve some kind of physical force that is employed against the patient, either that it's implicit in the nature of the treatment, or in the course of treating the patient, the situation arises in which the doctor feels that he needs to use force to go ahead with this treatment that has been consented to. And we're saying, in effect, there won't be any criminal liability, say, for such thing as a battery or something. Secondly, to cover the emergency kind of situations, where there isn't any consent, but where the doctor would reasonably believe that someone would consent under the circumstances.
So you're removing from the criminal side of the operation of the wrong ear, which constitutes a battery. Because you consent only to have your right ear operated on, and the doctor makes a mistake, operates to the left. This removes
it. Well, we're trying to get at, basically, was an emergency.
Well, of course, conditionally, you're operating on the wrong foot or ear or whatever. Those cases don't go to the criminal.
You're not going to see continuous action for that. You're going to sue his insurance company for everything he's got.
Are you saying that our judgment is based on what's common practice and how the law is?
No, I'm saying
oh, yeah, okay. I'm back to the discretion of the district attorney. That's where I came in.
We have it all on the channel. Now this should quickly pass.
Don, I was wondering, we kind of talked about this, in the situation where you have a typical thing that's occurred up in Clackamas County, where you have a minor, very ill, medical profession there, very concerned, then refusing to get any permission for treatment. And as I recall, the court order, the circuit court, authorizing the child to be treated, was treated. Then there was the case, I think, back in the D.C. Circuit, with the whole witness situation, the district court judge granted an order authorizing the transfusion. And as I understand, he would reverse the appeal. And he said, well, that's fine, I'll just grant it. Transfusion is taken out. I wondered if there was any consideration of that general area, or this small area that warrants consideration.
We didn't talk about that with respect to this section.
The problem that comes up is the guy who sailed in the court,
exercise within the Nobody knows who or where his brothers are or anything else. There are two or three pretty competent people around the hospital. They come into the emergency room and say, we've got to open up his head to relieve the pressure in his brain from a fractured skull. If the patient dies or is permanently disabled, I presume that there's going to be some civil action. Somebody just wants to object because his religious or his some other beliefs make his treatment wrong by his standards. Well, I don't think it's clear such a criminal sentence. That's really what we were basically talking about. And there's a lot of this type of thing. In some cases there are two people in the car, and one of them is able to get permission to sign the hospital.
Mr. Chairman, would this be care of say ambulance attendants and so forth?
Well, that's why I was interested in the American statute that was passed in 1967. How did
Well, the Good Samaritan statute uses the term medically trained person, and that's defined as means a person licensed under any law of a state or of the United States to practice medicine and surgery, professional nursing, osteopathy, or chiropractic.
So that does not cover medical
attendance. You didn't say first aid.
Well, physical therapy is a state.
He wouldn't accept under 5 the first line or a person acting under the direction of the physician.
Could come.
Yeah, he could if he were under the direction of the doctor.
But they usually don't.
That begs the question.
Most cases they are.
Well, once I had a minor, in my geography, it would have been. We have a large number of volunteer fire departments that also handle the ambulance. And this goes on all over the state. And these guys are getting real jittery about any physical contact with any type of person that's been injured.
And primarily the civil war.
Well, I'll guess that's true. Whether it's civil or criminal, I don't know.
Well, it seems to me that this section is going to operate on a very, very small number of people. Right. Additionally, these haven't been dressed for the criminal mill anyway.
Wow.
But I don't think it does any harm to put it in there.
Is it necessary for the
Well, when you say that they're dressed for the civil, but I wonder, I don't do that much necessarily, but I wonder if any doctor's ever been threatened with criminal action. It seems to me that a physician or a professional person, the fact that no VA will prosecute there being a discretion of this, to that effect. But that really doesn't satisfy me. In other words, if it's there, I suspect somebody is going to come to a doctor and have a talking physician, and he's not just talking about a civil matter, he's talking about a criminal. Of course, there is all the extortion to do that.
Yes.
Special prosecutor.
Yeah. But I mean, there is this under provision because it's there that a person can report.
Well, what's the wish for the commission?
gonna move it as adoption, I'd like to move it in motion. Well, I think it's a little limited if we say we put a duly licensed physician. First place is a duly licensed physician. I can tell you, you have a problem right now. I don't know what a duly licensed physician is. Whether if I do the chiropractor or not. Remember to use the language that with experience that.
Medicaid.
And also include the benefits.
We discussed this in the subcommittee at some great length. We recognize the fact that because of the lobbying activities of the various healing arts and legitimate lobbying activities, that this is going to ring a bell with them, and when it gets into the legislature, there's going to be lots of twisting and turning and pulling, and I think the subcommittee will spell which sizes are good and see what happens.
Well, he is right. We don't say what we mean by saying we like to do this. I thought that meant a medical doctor.
I did too.
I think that was just not clear yet.
The law is not clear on here.
Would you feel better about it if it was a licensed medical doctor?
Oh boy.
Oh, I didn't give those guys anymore.
Not there.
Why do we want to limit them? In other words, we're physical therapists, dentists.
Just invite your chiropractor.
And not really want to be caring. He's going to start to say anything.
Move to eliminate the question.
I move we eliminate subsection 5.
Mr. Chandler has moved that we eliminate subsection 5. Heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Just by voice vote. Opposed in favor of the motion to eliminate it, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion's carried.
Quiet majority.
Anything on your left ear.
That's what Mr. Nixon called the silent
majority.
Number 6.
All right, number 6 is just a general statement that you can use physical force upon another person. Now here, physical force might include deadly force. Physical force upon another person in defending himself or a third person, in defending property, in making an arrest, or in preventing an escape, as hereafter prescribed in this article. And then we have specific sections that. Pardon me?
The common law defense, so it's all the time
later in the statute.
Is that really necessary?
Yeah, that's what I would like. That comes up in section 9 there.
Yeah, I mean,
you need subsection 6 for it, doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's this section was use of physical force generally, and it's really just to call attention to the fact that there are specific articles, specific sections dealing with making an arrest, defending property, defending escape, etc.
I move to amend section 6 by calling section 5, subsection 6 by calling subsection 5.
I think we can get unanimity on this.
Do you want to restate that,
Chairman? I move that it be a motion by unanimous consent.
All right, so ordered.
Now I move we approve section 4 as amended.
All right, Mr. Chandler has moved that we approve section 4 as amended. Those who favor signify by saying aye. And the motion to all those opposed.
Judge Brewer?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Chandler?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Hobbs?
Aye.
Grinstead?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
Aye.
Bolling?
Aye.
Chairman? Aye.
One down, 93
to go.
Only 10 seconds to go.
Maybe we can get through section 5 for lunch. Page 13.
Don't we have to discuss 5 or 6?
Yeah, you do. They all have to be discussed together.
Okay.
Okay, now section 5. allows a person to use physical force on another person to defend himself, except is limited under 6. Now, 6 limits the use of physical force in defense of a person. And Section 7 also has, Section 6 limits deadly physical force. And Section 7 limits the use of physical force of any kind. All right. When he reasonably believes to be the physical force of one another person to defend himself, or a third person, from one he reasonably believes to be the use or imminent use of unlawful physical force, and he may use a degree of force which he reasonably believes to be necessary for the purpose. Now, then Section 6 on page 14, notwithstanding the provisions of Section 5, a person is not justified in using deadly physical force. Now that, as we know before, is defined in our general definition. Force likely to cause serious physical injury or death. Cannot use that unless he reasonably believes the other person is, one, committing or attempting to commit a felony involving force or violence, or two, using or about to use physical force against an occupant of a dwelling while committing or attempting to commit a burglary, or three, using or about to use unlawful deadly physical force. However, a person shall not use deadly physical force in defense of himself if he knows that he can with complete safety avoid the necessity of using such force by retreat. A person is under no duty to retreat if he is either in his dwelling and is not the original aggressor, or he's a peace officer or a person assisting a peace officer in his direction. This would come into your arrest situations. And then Section 7 goes on to limit the use of physical force. Now, number one, he can't use it if with intent to cause physical injury or death to another person. He provokes the use of physical force. He starts the trouble, of course. And under two, if he's the initial aggressor, except that his use of physical force on another person under such circumstances is justifiable if he withdraws from the encounter and effectively communicates to the other person's intent to do so, but the latter nevertheless continues or threatens to continue to use him along with physical force. Or three, the physical force involves the product of combat by agreement, not specifically authorized by law, in other words, a dueling or a free fight of some sort.
Chairman, I'll move the adoption of Section 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
Second.
Mr. Heard the motion for the discussion.
I'd like to answer the question number 6, sub 2. Any reason why we single out burglary?
Yeah, there is.
And
the reason is that here we've used the man's home as his castle concept, and you wouldn't ordinarily, under our draft, be allowed to use deadly physical force against a person who is using mere physical force against yourself or another, but you would be allowed to go so far as to kill that individual if it's in a dwelling. Right.
Well,
so we've allowed a greater degree of force to be used because of the fact that it's a dwelling.
All right. Well, what about arson?
Well, we cover arson specifically.
Arson's covered. Well, I know it's covered.
Yeah, that's under Section 8, use of physical force in defense of premises.
Whatever it is, that's Section 1, man.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's in a homicide, but an automobile involves force and violence, doesn't it?
Well, I was trying to understand if there were distinctions. I take it, for example, sub 1 is attempting to commit a felony involving force and violence, such as rape or armed robbery or something like that. And then you've got burglary. I was simply thinking of the category of what are commonly thought of as serious crimes. And I wondered if what would be the rationale for omitting arson.
But it's covered in Section 8. Section 8.
Does that also...
Yes.
Would also permit that, oh, I see.
Yeah, it's deadly force if it's arson, so it's...
Doesn't this essentially restate the present law?
Yes, it does.
Okay, question's been called for.
I've taken to the panel there, I can't find any, is it sufficient provocation that the father comes down and finds his daughter on the couch with a boyfriend?
To the extent of that.
Well, if the individual has the intent to start an altercation or something with the idea that he can then claim self-defense by letting the guy have it. We weren't trying to limit it necessarily to physical action on this part, but the provocation I think could well be the use of fighting words. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Well, it does. You're being away from my friend.
No, I don't think so. No.
We want to get an honest person.
Case I sign on page 20. Well, there's several cases I cited, but the gist of it is that when a man's armed, in this case he was armed, but he seeks another for an affray, the law will not permit him to provoke and urge on the difficulty to a point where there is an appearance of an attempt to use weapons, that then justify the aggressor taking life simply on the ground of apparent danger. In such case, he is the aggressor.
Question's been called for on Mr. Johnson's motion to adopt section 567.
May I ask a question before we move on?
Well, we'll relax a little bit.
Here again, have we inserted the term reasonable physical force?
9.7.
We did use reasonable because one of our limiting sections under 6 is a limitation on deadly physical force, and then 7 even goes on then to limit other force, which is less than deadly. So there was a specific reason we didn't use the qualifying word for reasonable. I think this is one place where you really don't want it.
You got a question, Dave?
Yeah, second, too. sub one, committing or attempting to commit a felony involving torture violence. Stealing a car, you see the put the pad out in the driveway.
Well, that's not involving torture violence.
Felony involving torture violence. He just trying to steal a car, he was using torture violence.
Looking around.
Well, I assume here, maybe the commentary is true. Then you're trying to physically force a violence person.
That's what we said, person or another person.
Well, in other words, armed robbery is considered a crime involving force and violence.
A raid.
Right, and so on.
That's really what we're talking about.
No, I'm doing it secondly.
Well, a robbery, even though the person isn't actually touched, it involves force and violence.
And even if the defendant is unarmed.
Stay in that bed and keep your eyes shut or I'm gonna hit you.
Robbery by force and violence, not being armed, and dangerous weapon.
Well, the only one we felt that there might be some question on was the one you brought up earlier, and that was arson. So we specifically dealt with that in regard to the premises.
If I understand, what you've got here restates the existing law and order. As far as substantially the scope of self-defense and so on. Isn't that a fair statement?
Yes. Except on the question of retreat, now you get into that, we're changing that a little.
Well, yeah.
I was really getting towards the back in the section four. Sub six, now five, we have independent property. And then it's ever to define these basic outlines. By the succeeding section. I can't find any defense property except for the home.
Well, there's section
eight,
nine.
Section eight has defense premises.
Oh, we're still coming.
Section nine has defense property.
All right, move the previous
page. Well, we'll just vote. If I don't want to cut off the debate, though. Does that resolve your inquiry, Dave? Kind of.
Yeah.
And the motion is, Mr. Chairman?
And the motion is to approve sections 5, 6, and 7. Those in favor, say aye.
Judge
Burns?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye. Chandler?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Hawk?
Aye.
Jernstein?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
license should have the
committee, what we were talking about was the individual, say, who's in a dwelling house. He doesn't live there. He's a visitor or a guest or a relative. And since he was in the location where he was, he needed to extend the same privilege to use force to defend those premises if he had a lawful
right. What are you going to do if you and I are in your house? No. What are you going to do if you and I are in your house and you're asleep and I wake up and see somebody running around? Do I have to wake you up because you're the person in lawful possession of control, or can I pop you from the piece of...
Well, you're talking about a different thing because the child would come in and possibly have to try to do it for the first time. It means to leave. It comes in a different justification. This is just the trespass. This is just the criminal trespass. It's just the person who comes in and won't leave.
All right, we're in his office. And some guy comes in and starts to shout and scream and so forth. He thinks, I'm in the office. I'm not licensed. I'm not licensed. I'm not in lawful possession of control, but do I just leave the office and say, well, when he comes to, he'll throw him out?
Well, take the other case, Bob. Bob, the restaurant. You're a licensee, you're sitting there. Maybe the owner of the restaurant would want to deal with this problem a little bit differently. We would just rough this guy up.
Yeah, maybe if you're in my office, I just soon get on the phone and call the police and have them come down and get him out. If you're licensed or privileged to be there, and you decide, well, we're going to have to wait for the police to get here. Now, if I tell you, let's throw him out, and you're helping me, that might be a different...
Well, I'm assisting in a law officer or something. Where are they coming from? Where are they?
Right here.
It seemed to me we went into this at some point.
We're not all the way into a little white right now.
Don't forget my blue book.
No blue book.
No
blue
book.
This is
my
blue book that I made my marks, you see.
That's for sure. You ain't making none today.
Well, Mr. Spaulding carried this as a substitution on the firm.
Are you caving in?
No, I'm not caving in. I just want to know why Mr. Spaulding persuaded me to vote that way.
I don't remember when he talked about anything to make it.
I recall some discussion that I don't think I've seen in the minutes, but apparently it wasn't very significant.
What do you mean when it involves trespass?
You want the person in control to be responsible for the vehicle for trespass, not a license.
Well, suppose the trespasser is in control.
Well, then we have lawful talking to the owner of the
house. He wouldn't be in lawful control.
That's how we had it lawful, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you check, like, the individual, well, even the case,
well,
you mentioned the office, actually, the wife, I'm the owner of the office. Now you're there, you're probably in there.
If I'd just come in, you didn't know I was coming, I was sitting there waiting for you to come back.
Did you make that in part of the motion you made?
Well, I'll make the motion in respect.
I'm not. I get greater than the middle problem.
You need to worry about the right person who is licensed or privileged to be there.
I'm trying to find the derivation. I don't see it from that.
That was from issue.
No mention of it.
It looks to me like the way this is written, it would give me the right to which didn't purport to get out into these bodies and houses, which would be in an office building, but it
would be perfect. That's right. That's true. Well, actually, you're just lawful.
Let's
places and don't leave it others. In other places, I think we're allowing some people, anybody, to draw the conclusion that what we're really saying is reasonable physical force in one area and what constitutes unreasonable physical force in the other. That's the only conclusion you can come to.
As long as it doesn't come to the point of deadly force, accepting simply whatever force you want.
No, what you reasonably believe is necessary to prevent or terminate, what you reasonably believe is necessary to prevent or terminate.
You know, really, we are getting ourselves into a legal system with our legal system.
Well, you would take those motions and
Well, I'm wondering if we wouldn't be justified to the extent of having a definition of physical force and physical assault. We are getting something that is reasonable physical force and then not saying it's here because it's a matter of
force. You can find the physical force once it's made reasonable under
certain conditions. Yeah, also the idea that it does get unwieldy. Do we have a definition? We have a definition just stepping back where we use the definition.
No, we don't have a definition section.
We
have deadly physical force.
We define that, yes. It's under general definition.
We also define physical force as being
anything less than deadly physical force by specific definition.
It
gets to the point of deadly physical force and say what then is everything else is physical force.
Deadly results in death.
Or serious physical injury.
So if you club a little old lady 7 times on the head, that's deadly physical force.
Or once. Then what's the difference between that and physical force?
Physical force is probably easy to
Well, it's. I don't think there's any way you can really define physical force, Wally.
Reasonable in one area, you must mean the antithesis, the opposite would be unreasonable.
You really come around to what the subcommittee talks about.
If physical force, by its own definition, means reasonable, then we're redundant in saying reasonable before. If it means reasonable, then what we're saying right now by our last motion is that justified in using any physical force, be it reasonable or unreasonable.
I think you're on the wrong track on this. I really do. We discussed this morning. Read the language. It says when. You can use the physical force when he reasonably believes. You can use the physical force to the extent that he reasonably believes. If you leave the language you've got to cover the original language we had in there.
His motion failed.
John, I don't think you want to have reasonable in some of these sections and not another. You're using the same language all the way through this thing, and I think you've got to go one way or the other. That's what Walter
and I moved in sections 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The word reasonable where we added it in front of physical force.
We really changed something in some of the sections.
I don't think we are.
Now that we've left to the extent that in.
I would agree with Bob's motion in section 1 when we talked about the justification.
Wow. section four.
We have one more reasonable. When and to the extent you reasonably believe.
Section four.
Subsection three. When and to the extent.
The subcommittee went out and listened around, but deadly physical force is something that either kill somebody or quick kill somebody or likely to cause serious injury to them. All right, now, anything less than that in these specific cases.
I think it's the subcommittee fouled us all up to start with.
You keep talking about the subcommittee, but will you explain to me why you inserted the word reasonable in subsection one and section four?
That's what started this argument off.
It isn't in the rule book.
Because it was felt dealing with the discipline that the discipline has to be reasonable.
Number one, you cannot ever use anything. You've got to use a lesser degree of force to maintain order in a school.
Yeah, but look, Bob, you say you can use reasonable force when he reasonably believes it's necessary and to the extent he reasonably believes it's necessary. You do not need the word reasonable in the third line.
Right,
it's a redundancy.
I move to strike it already.
Can I give you some background on this? Now, the original draft of the subcommittee, preliminary draft number one, did not use the term the word reasonable to modify physical force anyway. And what happened is that under section four, when we first ran into this, where we talked about parents, guardians, and teachers and whatnot, originally read, may use physical force, but not deadly physical force. And there was an objection made to that because it seemed that anything that fell short of killing somebody was going to be authorized. That was pretty much the objection. So that was taken out, and it was moved to amend to insert reasonable physical force. Well, that was with respect to section 4, sub 1. But the same objection was not raised with respect to some of the other sections. So we ended up with reasonable being used first and foremost just with respect to that one section. Because no place in the original draft did we use reasonable physical force. We just used the term physical force or deadly physical force, with the idea being that they can use physical force and then go on to say to the extent that it reasonably appears necessary. That was felt to take care of the question of whether or not force is reasonable. And, so I think the objection that we've got too many reasonable things is well taken. I mean, there's a reason for it,
right.
And that was
reasonable.
Chairman,
I got to restate Mr. Will.
Right, as I understand Mr. Chandler's motion, it was to delete reasonable.
Every place we've inserted it.
Every place we've inserted it.
Before physical force.
Now, that would not include, for example, section 4, where it was in the printed
Just
by today's amendments we put it.
Now, do you want to have a reasonable in here?
Yes. Well,
I think
for the reason that Don just voiced.
But Don acknowledged it's redundant.
And we're using the
new audio logic,
but every less than deadly force, it's critical force.
Well, it's all right to be
I think. If you want to make a motion to delete that, let's do it after the vote on bottom.
Well, my thought is that the motion we ought to just add the caveat to it. The standard should be throughout when we're talking about physical force, the word when to the extent you need to be used as necessary.
Well, remember in section 1 we're talking about child abuse, which is difficult enough already.
But by adding a redundancy doesn't make it any different to that's all you're
Lee, I think what I'll do to simplify it, because I sense that there might be a division on this, I'll put Bob's motion first. And that motion is to delete reasonable where Air Corps has been inserted today in those sections of the decision made. Now, everybody is in favor of that, signified by saying,
we didn't add it to any of 5, 6, or 7. It's really, it's 4 for the one.
All right. Okay. This is all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That's and the motion is carried. Now,
I'll move on to make a further motion.
Well, I would first make it to the second for subsection work just to get this clear. Be properly. Be checking the section. Follow the standard. Do most of these sections. Quote, when and to the extent you reasonably believe it's necessary. And I would accept from my motion subsection 1 and 7.
We have done that. We did that.
Well, I'm not certain, Mr. Dunn, I don't want to
make it. What are you talking about?
When and to the extent.
Yeah, but in one section.
Well, for one thing, I'm worried about section 2 and the motion to change that to make sure that it's on the right now. We've got a motion to make this morning to amend it to section 2, section 4.
Subsection 2 or section 4 this morning? No.
All I'm saying is let's get consistency.
Okay, recite that again. Think you just did it without it.
Throughout sections 4 through 7, just confirm that. Wherever we're using the test of physical force, we've set it as the standard. The words when and to the extent we reasonably believe it's necessary.
Well, that's using our 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It goes on the past.
We can pick it up in the future.
It's in there every time.
Yeah.
All
right. You've heard the motion, the policy. This is the matter. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. All right. Johnson's motion of the 9th stage is carried. We have one further motion that the inspector would need to take section 2.
I think that the reasonable adds another test to this particular section as refers to child meeting and so forth and so on.
Why should reasonable add a test to the child meeting and not to the passenger meeting?
Because I think that generally speaking, when people look upon child meeting, whether by parent or somebody else, being more heinous crime than clobbering some front of the passenger overhead.
Well, I think you've been close to that rule you keep out of this.
Have I?
The definition, the logical definition of physical force was a little less than 10 years before. And now you're saying we're going to have a new test that is reasonable, and it's difficult to understand logic and it doesn't exist.
What he said is describes the emotional reaction, but not any reason why beating a kid is any different than beating a passenger, merely because you say reasonable physical force.
Well, to me,
the kid is one of the circumstances.
To me, the reasonable physical force makes it a more objective standard than this here to the extent the reasonable.
I can be the passenger to the extent that when and to the extent it reasonably appears to be necessary. That means I can use a certain degree of force which depends upon the circumstance. passenger, the size of the boat, my size, and so on. Now, I can feed a kid when and to the extent it reasonably appears to be necessary. And I don't have to say reasonable physical force, because the force I can then use depends upon my size, the kid's size, how big the room is, and so on. Just as much
for reasonably believes.
Well, keep in mind, but also in confidence, well, somebody really confident, 6'5" or 280 pounds, as strong as a bull.
He says to the extent he reasonably believes it's necessary. That's a standard of reasonableness. How necessary is it to beat this kid that hard?
Well, assuming logic,
you're just, it's a redundancy.
Assuming the logic is right, what you say, what you say. What about the legislation? This seems to me like we're approaching something that Carol's supposed to gun control. I can see the EPA groups coming down the legislature and raising all kinds of hell because of their interpretation of this. You're going to be able to use physical force upon my kids, if not better than physical force. This was one of the things we discussed in 17, one of the reasons why.
Well, then, if we really want to be emotional, let's say that he may use reasonably gentle physical force.
Right. Even being sensitive to your point, you think reasonable? You think the same PTA group will back off and say, okay, use reasonable physical force? And we'll judge that report after you're through using it. And I see your point, but I don't think you're going to solve the problem by saying reasonable.
Well, the court is interpreting the statute. It's going to have to say either of two things. It's going to have to say that the use of the word reasonable or physical force is a redundancy of the statute. It obviously drafted. Or secondly, that it was intended to apply a different standard to this. So apparently what it means is that when we interpret these other sections, that the word, it's only a question of whether when. The reason he reasonably believes only modifies when, he can use all the force he wants to.
Well, of course, that was the reason we had originally...
Please don't use that.
That was why. That was why we originally just used the term physical force and then went on to say, with respect to the discipline of the children, but not deadly physical force. But the objection to that was, as I indicated, that some of the members of the subcommittee felt we were saying by implication that anything short of killing them was all right. And that wasn't what we intended. And because I have felt all along that reasonably believed is not a subjective standard. I think a belief that's reasonable imposes an objective standard on the actor, and it's not, because if you're going to make it completely subjective, you take reasonably out completely and say what he believes. His belief has to be a reasonable belief.
Well, it's got to be, and that's the only way any court is going to interpret it, is that it's the same standard we have today. We're not going to interpret it as a subjective standard, obviously. I do think it just seems to me the community for draftsmanship to stick that up for you.
Question.
All right. Mr. Chandler asked a question on Mr. Johnson's motion to delete reasonable for sub 1. I think we'll ask the roll call. All in favor of the motion to delete the word reasonable, say aye as you raise your call. Those opposed, no.
Goodwin? Carson?
Aye.
Chandler?
No.
Frost?
Aye.
Haas?
I'll pass.
Jernstead?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Bali?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
No.
Now, is it all right for me to go back to using
the vote? No.
I was recapping.
Yeah, this is just voting. The key to the re-election. I'll stand on the high vote.
Because it wasn't the reason.
We didn't want to raise any questions.
Now on the section 9.
We're still on 7-2.
We're on 7-2 of section 8, is that right? Right? A person may use deadly physical force under these circumstances set forth in sub-1. Only in defense of a person is provided in section 6. Or when he reasonably believes it necessary to prevent what he reasonably believes by the trespasser to commit arson. That didn't come out of 7-3, did it?
There's nothing that lately happened.
No, I won't blame that on the 7-3. That's the language I put in. But I think you need two reasonably there. Because one relates to the force that he uses, and which here he has to reasonably believe that deadly physical force is necessary. And he also has to have a reasonable belief that there is an attempt being made to commit a to commit arson. So one goes to his state of mind with respect to the crime that's been committed or appears to be committed, and the other goes to the standard of force.
I wonder, John, why do you not pick up the language in 6-2, where you say you can use deadly force in connection with either the commission or the attempt to commission of burglary? Why we would not also want it to be here, the commission or the attempted commission of arson? In other words, this would limit its use to the attempt to commission arson, but if the fellow were actually committing arson, he would...
Fire set, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, but fire once starts, if it is arson, you can't prevent it.
And what if he's going to go on down the line and fire one the other?
No,
you got to wait
until
he starts
to fire slow. Well, maybe there's a sensible reason for it. It occurs to me that it might be in the system.
I think it's a good point. Okay, so then you have a situation once the building gets charged.
Under our arson ground,
what we ought to do, Chairman, when we get to the last number section, section, telling on justification, putting it in writing, and justification.
But that
there'd be nothing wrong with it. Wouldn't there be, you know, but the commission or attempt.
Well, are you suggesting when he reasonably believes it necessary to
use what he can't leave to be the commission?
Oh, I thought you. Implicit in your suggestion was to eliminate one of the reasons.
No. What I'm saying is it may make sense to have B apply either to the attempted commission of arson or to the commission of arson.
Well, now suppose, suppose the guy has committed arson.
What's the use of
killing?
What's the use of killing?
Well, then you're not going to be necessary to quit then.
If it's been committed,
why have to commit it? Because if they may be going on to
starting to prevent what is reasonable.
The crime of arson or an attempt by the trespasser to commit the crime of arson. Prevent in the first line and the sixth one. Trying to prevent it, I don't understand.
I think it's simple.
Well, but if it's already been done, how you gonna prevent it by shooting?
Well, yeah, but suppose he touches the match of the curtain and gets charred, and if that's all he's gonna do, then maybe he's gonna do more. It's already committed to the crime. The arson is no longer a crime.
That's right.
Suppose the arson, the trespasser tries to keep you.
If you look fire, you're gonna keep preventing the first one.
You're not preventing anything.
Any further?
In the first line of the.
So one reason that the court has commission of crime of arson. Well, I'm hung up on a more fundamental point than that.
Why do you keep getting away from this?
What are you doing?
Well, I. It seems to me that if we just said a person may use deadly physical force when reasonably believes it necessary to prevent the commission of the crime of arson. However, I'm not the first one you said.
Well, so yeah, like that would cover an attempt. Prevent an attempt instead of doing it, and then prevent the accomplishment of it.
What I'm saying is, building coverage would just use one way to do it.
Well, that may be. Do we have, does the burglary have to? Here's the reason it doesn't in 6-2, we won't have that in. You can use physical force if you reasonably believe that the other guy had
physical force in this case.
Well, in both cases. In 6-2, you can use deadly physical force.
It is, Jim. It says unless he reasonably believes that the other person is committing or attempting to commit.
Right, but it doesn't go on to say unless he reasonably believes that the other person
he is qualified by being he has to be actually believed.
Well, it doesn't the first line he say that.
Yes, but I'm saying that we don't have to say it twice.
Well, I'd agree with you. I'd agree with you since you don't say it twice in,
that's right.
In 6-2.
Well, you don't in 6-2 because you set it up in your first paragraph, 7-6. Because unless he reasonably believes the other person is
committing a burglary.
Right.
Now, if you say, if you use analogous language, you would say, when he reasonably believes it necessary to prevent the commission of arson. I think that's the right.
Is that in the form of a motion?
Yes, I move to redraft 8-2B so as to be consistent with 6-2.
That's a coward statement.
Or in the alternative, to strike the words what he reasonably believes to be in 8-2B, so that it will be when he reasonably believes it necessary to prevent an attempt for a trespasser to commit arson.
Well, I would not let him shoot him if he doesn't commit arson and he isn't a trespasser.
Now, I'm going to come to that in a minute.
Now, we can't vote on it in the alternative.
No, my motion is the latter statement, removing the words, what he reasonably believes to be.
So that it would read, what he reasonably believes it necessary to prevent an attempt by the trespasser to commit arson.
Correct.
Right. Who's the motion? further discussion?
Well, what he said, we're going to come to that in a minute. I'm going to have a question of whether we're going to let people who are not trespassers come in and strengthen without being judged. This implies that
he has to be a trespasser.
He has to be a trespasser and
an arsonist.
An arsonist.
What if I get mad at my wife and took part of the house?
It's also got to be the person in law for possession or control of the
family. Yeah, sure.
Your first alternative was when you read the police of necessary to prevent the commission of a crime of arson.
It seems to me like that makes sense.
What I was trying to get at initially was to take out the second reasonably believed correct without getting into the other problems.
All right. You still got this contempt,
but I'm going to make a motion.
I'd move to amend to add a contempt fine if it went to trespassing and anything else.
I would be interested, though, to know whether you would propose to strike trespass as part of it.
Well, we talked about this earlier, and I think we ought to talk about it a little bit more. That's a separate issue we talked about this morning. The answer to that time was we don't have arson in 6 because we've got it covered in 8. At that time, we didn't go into whether it was just trespass or whatever. Now, I think you can make different arguments perhaps both ways. I don't know. It seems to me that's a separate matter from this thing here.
Well, it's separate. Well,
at this juncture, I think we also ought to have a motion on your point as well. And I think we also ought to have a motion on whether we want to limit it to the
okay.
What you
should do.
All right,
well, hold it just a second. I have a real question whether subsection 2 is supposed to be. Subsection 2 applies to circumstances in subsection 1. It applies to criminal trespass. Don't you have the 10 use deadly force? Deadly force use the 6 anyway. The first part.
The defense of a person we're talking about.
All right, the defense of a person, though, is covered by section 6, right? You don't need that. My question is whether there's one about why we confine it to trespassers and not being treated the same as burglary.
Well, of course, that's built into section 1.
But what I'm saying is not in section 6.
No, because this is an exception to the rule that you can only use physical force in defense of premises. You can go to deadly force if there's arson involved.
But that's what section 6 deals with this. Section 8 deals with the criminal trespass. And that's, 6 deals with when you can use deadly force generally, right?
But as a matter of organization, you're talking in one section about the force usable persons and 8 force usable in the defense of premises.
Well, how come burglary is over in 6 then?
It's in 6 because it's the burglar is going to use force. Yeah. You can't just use the burglar. But it has to be using about using the
right friend.
Against an occupant as well as
arson, why do we extend this protection? Justification to use deadly force in arson.
That was done 2 years ago on for a different thing.
Oh, isn't it because it poses a threat of personal injury or death to the occupant of the house? But really, it isn't the same injury purpose.
Yeah, well, we didn't want to put the defendant in the position of having to show that he was actually defending a person when he uses deadly force against the arsonist. That's what we were trying to get at. Because otherwise, he's going to have to tie it into defense of a person. Yeah.